So we've talked about, one, that we need spiritual gifts to build up the church. And then we went through specifically the gift of prophecy because it's held up as the most important. And about now, you might be starting to wonder, like, you hear that list of gifts read. What is my spiritual gift? How do I know what my spiritual gift is? And we're going to learn today that spiritual gifts are not like Christmas. It's not like you walk downstairs and you have this beautiful tree and you unwrap the gift and you unwrap the gift and then you go play with it. But it's something far better than that. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to understand our gifting in the Holy Spirit and that we can discover this in following you. Guide us, lead us by your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first point, I'm going to defend a little bit of why I don't like to use spiritual gift assessments. So you can actually go online, you can look it up on Google if you want, and you can go fill out like a form and find out your spiritual gifts. You can go do that, but I'm going to hopefully show you a better way. And the reason why I don't do it is that, one, it seems a little intuitively just off to confine like the Spirit of God, which was the Spirit of God, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so it seems a little simplistic, like I'm going to answer these 50 questions and know God's unique gifting for my life, because it doesn't, like, the Spirit seems to operate in a different way than that. Secondly, I think one of the issues with spiritual gift assessments is, and this gets to a bigger picture, is that I think the gifts listed in the Bible are not the totality of the spiritual gifts. And the reason why I think this is that in every list you get, and there's one in Galatians, and we see this one in Corinthians, which we read today, every list is a little different because they're just pointing out some for this reason. But we see different kinds of things, different places. And so I don't think we want to limit, you know, what are spiritual gifts to just the things that are listed. I think there are probably more. Three, some tests that have been popularly used in the church of assessments, and one of them I have to do for like my denominational thing, and I've complained about it already. They rely on personality tests, and I'm gonna make enemies here today, but personality tests are very controversial, and I used to love them. Like I took a Myers-Briggs, like, oh, look at this, I'm an ENTP. That's really cool. And they give the idea that here you can fill out, again, a questionnaire of 50 forms, and here's this thing called personality that describes you. Now, it seemed like really fun and nice until I was very influenced by an article I read once, and this article went through some of the evidence about personality tests. And there was the one study that was done where it was a certain personality test. I won't tell you which one it is, but it might rhyme with Hyers-Tiggs. And they had one group of people, and they gave them the test like normal. They gave them their results, and then had them fill a survey, like, how accurate is this? Then they had group number two. Group number two took the same test, but instead of giving them the results, they gave them random results. They just randomly assigned them numbers, and then they had them fill out a questionnaire. How well does this describe me? And both groups said they described them about equally as well, which kind of makes you think, maybe these things are written in such a way. It's like it's kind of like a Rorschach test where you kind of see what you want in them, because they are in some cases written a little bit like horoscopes, where it's like, I see kind of that. Maybe that's off a little bit, but that part's really right. Okay. I'm totally out of my depth on personality tests. Like, I'm not a psychologist, but there is one big downside to this kind of thing. And it's a downside that should be kind of obvious to anyone who's been around anyone for any length of time, is that labels that we put on people make a dramatic difference to their lives. Now, you take a third grade kid and you call him up front and say, "You're stupid." And do you think that kid's gonna do better in school or worse in school? It's gonna do worse, because we tend to internalize these labels, and they don't just describe us, but as soon as we get a label, we kind of live up to that label. And so I worry about something that's gonna be like, okay, we're gonna like give you this label here and this is what you are, because if it's not doing it accurately, like, we can tend to like kind of like build ourselves into the label. Now, I think the Bible shows us how to find our spiritual gift in a natural and organic way. And we're gonna see three ways the Bible shows us how we can learn our spiritual gifting. So, one, spiritual gifts are recognized by an authority. Two, spiritual gifts are recognized by the congregation. And three, spiritual gifting shows up as God's power dramatically moves as people are going out and being obedient to his call. Okay, so one, it's recognized by an authority. We see this 2 Timothy 1:6. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now, Timothy has a gift. And the gift, I think in the wider context, we can see the gift is the gift of teaching. And this is a gift that is ultimately, like, it's not just like Paul didn't give this gift, because gifts are ultimately from God. But Paul, as the apostle, as a spiritual authority, laid hands on Timothy and blessed him and said, "You have this gift of teaching," so that now when Timothy is going through a hard stretch, there are false teachers who are coming against Timothy saying, "You aren't a very good teacher." And now Paul is saying, remind you, it was not just your internal witness. It wasn't just that you filled out some test that said that you had the gift of teaching. It was recognized by a spiritual authority that you have this, so you can rely on that. It's like, we shouldn't just rely on ourselves and our own self-assessment. There are two people, kinds of people in the world. There are people who are very, very confident in their own abilities, and there are people who aren't very confident in their own abilities. And the people who are very confident in their own abilities probably shouldn't be so confident and should look to others for encouragement. People who aren't need that. Now, gifts should be recognized by authorities. Now, this is preaching more to myself than it is to any of you, because I think as a church, we need to do a lot better job in identifying gifted people and blessing those gifts. Say, yes, you are gifted in this way. Now, this goes for like me as pastor and elders. It also goes if you're a small group leader, if you are a youth group leader, if you have any leadership, if you're mentoring someone else, if you see a gift in someone, you know, be cognizant of the Spirit, be listening. But if you see that gift, talk to the person and bless them in that gift. As a church, this is something that we need to work on. I thought that's something, next elders meeting, put it on the agenda. Okay. Second, gifts are recognized by the congregation. This is in Acts 6. There's a dispute between the Hellenistic widows and the Jewish widows. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. So this is full of Spirit and the wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, this is the first recorded congregational meeting in church history. And it's funny, these are the apostles, and the apostles themselves, invested with a special authority of Jesus Christ, don't just say, okay, we know best, we're going to point out the people here. We know who has the Spirit of God. No, they say, congregation, we believe the Spirit dwells among you. You can pick out those who are invested with God's Spirit in order to do this work, because they're going to need to have spiritual gift of wisdom. Now, might think, you know, you're just serving tables, but this is a delicate situation. Going to need spiritual wisdom in order to navigate this. Now, this tells us two things, and it's really awesome. You know, we don't vote on a lot of things around here, but sometimes we do, and it shows, one, God can work through the congregation voting. And so if you are actually voting on something, don't just say, okay, I'm voting on this, and you're like, oh, yeah, I just get to, like, voice my opinion here. It's like, no, as the congregation, we should be spiritually aware to how God is working through us together, identifying who are gifted to specific ministries. And secondly, if the congregation is voting for you to something, and you're like, oh, I don't know, I really know this, but you should really be, like, aware that God works through the congregation choosing people. One of the people they would choose here is Stephen. It's a very important person in the early church. Third, as you go, your gift will show. So first, recognized by authority, recognized by congregation. As you go, your gift will show. The spiritual gifts show up as people are obedient to God's call in love. Now, in Acts 2, at this special moment of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and then they speak in foreign languages, showing the inclusion of the Gentiles in God's covenant, how this message of Jesus Christ is going to go across the world. This special gift was given in this moment. A little while later, Peter gets up, and as Peter gets up, he is given the gift of teaching to deliver a sermon in which 3,000 men would be saved. In Acts 3, Peter and John aren't actually, like, they're going to heal somebody, but they're not doing a healing service. They're going to church. They're going up to worship God. And as they go up to worship God, a panhandler asks them for money. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. And so this miracle does not happen because they thought, you know, I've got the gift of healing, I'm going to go heal somebody today. No, they were being obedient to God's call, and God blessed them in the gift as they went. Acts 5, we see the gift of spiritual discernment as Ananias and Sapphira come, and they're, you know, lying about the money they gave to church. They gave to the church. And Peter gets this gift of supernatural knowledge that they've lied to the Holy Spirit. And then this miraculous thing happens where they're struck dead. Boy, I want some more miracles in our church. You know what? Do want some more miracles in our church. Not everything will be easy. In Acts 6, Stephen is given the gift of teaching, and in the midst of people who are opposed to him, gives a speech about the temple of God that all people can do to respond to. You know, they're beaten when they turn to just picking up stones and stoning you. In Acts 12, Peter wasn't looking for a miracle. He got arrested. Was in between two soldiers. That's when the miracle of God came. As he was boldly preaching the gospel and got arrested, then, boom, this miracle shows up. He wasn't seeking the miracle. He was seeking to be faithful. And as he was being faithful, God's gifting came to him in that moment. There's not one recorded miracle in the Bible when someone was at home sitting on their couch watching TV. But when they're boldly going out in the power of God, God's power is displayed everywhere. And so I'm gonna ask you guys, let your gift find you. Let your gift find you. Knowing your gifting is not the most important way to experience your gifting. The most important way to experience your gifting is faithfully following God's call and then having his gifting show up when you least expect it, but when you most need it. So if you're going to know your gift, you need three things. First is you need to believe in Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. Now, this should be kind of self-evident, but you know, we're talking about spiritual gifting here. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ alone for the gift of salvation, which is a wonderful promise and awesome experience. So we got to experience as we got to see salvation with our eyes, with baptism, knowing that we are united to Christ by faith and can have eternal life with him. Secondly, to find your gifting, you need to repent of your sin. Now, as Christians, if you are living in conscious sin, grieving the Holy Spirit, you will not experience God's power as it is supposed to be experienced. Now, it's really funny. I was writing this, and I wasn't even thinking about my own story until this morning. I was looking over my notes and I thought, man, this is kind of like my story. And I got to hear and I was like, this was me when I was in college. And I was kind of, you know, I was a Christian, but I was also kind of doing my own thing a little bit. I wasn't really serious. And in that moment on the dorm room floor, when I repented of my sin and fully dedicated myself to God, in a couple of months later, as I'm really seeking God, then all of a sudden, like I like feel a call, like pastoral ministry. I feel that call. And then as I'm part of this church, and speaking of the pastor, Jim Shar, shout out to him. And he sees that gifting and blesses that. And then a little while, when I became a pastor of a church and here, you know, the congregation, they voted and said, yeah, we think you have that gift too. And it's like all three of these, the gift found me as I was being obedient. The authority blessed it. The congregation recognized it. All of those things happened, not because I was thinking, man, I really want a spiritual gift here. No, it happened because I was chasing after God and the gift found me. Third, you know, our gifting is not found in some, you know, our gifting is found in community as we're serving. As we recognize each other, as we work and grow together. When we do this, our spiritual gift will find you. And we remember our spiritual gift is whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one by the strength that God supplies, 1 Peter 4:11. And you might be thinking, you're listening here, like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, thinking about, yeah, it's good for you, pastor, you know, you got like the special thing, and maybe, you know, missionaries going over. But these gifts are for all of us who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will find you even in things that you might think are kind of small as you serve him. Next time you're with someone, maybe you're having coffee at Tim Hortons, and there's a friend, maybe a believer, maybe an unbeliever, who's like, man, my back is just killing me. You know, maybe instead of just like giving a, you know, oh, that's too bad, or, you know, maybe I'll pray for you sometime. Maybe you want to stop right there. Say, like, could I pray for you? Hey, could I lay my hand on your back here, and I pray? And we step out and faith, like we're called to pray for the sick and pray for them. And perhaps God will give you a gift of healing in that moment. Oh, side programming. No, I want to do a survey here. Just a sec. See where the Spirit of God is moving. I have one more sermon on spiritual gifts. I can either do tongues or healing. Okay. Who wants tongues? Who wants healing? More people say healing than tongues. We'll see. Whichever one, I'm going to pick it up at some future point. Like, it's not going to drop. It's not going to be like 5 years before I pick one of those up. Okay. Next time somebody in your circle is discouraged, you know, take them out for coffee. And as you listen to their story, pray in your spirit, Lord, show me into their heart that I can speak to them in such a way that they see you. If someone is stuck in drug addiction and turning away from God, you know, step into their life instead of away from it and speak into their life, calling them as the Spirit leads to a greater ideal. When we get together to study the Bible, you know, pray, Lord God, like, show me insight. And when, like, if you have, like, find yourself sharing things and people responding to it, like, that's how you find it. You have the gift of teaching as you are in those places where teaching is happening. You know, be aware that we don't just wrestle against human sin, but against spiritual forces and darkness, and pray, Lord God, open my eyes to see things. Maybe you have a gift of discernment to be able to see beyond what is just on the outside. Maybe somebody is overwhelmed with a disorder in their life, and you want to set aside a day just to help them get their life back into order. Maybe you have the gift of helping. Now, in all of these things, like, some of them sound like super, like, normal. I'm just helping someone straighten out their laundry. You know, maybe some of them are a little out here. All of them are things that we are called to do as Christians in showing love to the world, in going with the hope of the gospel. And as we go and do those things, God's Spirit will bless us and equip us with the gifts that are necessary to build his kingdom. His spiritual gifts are not like opening a present. You don't just like open your present and be like, oh, this is for me to play with. No, this is more like when you coach a basketball. I coached basketball for a lot of years. And you know what? When the kids started, none of them knew what they were good at. But you know how they found out what they were good at? We practiced. We played. And pretty soon, some of them discovered, well, I can really shoot. We all shot. Some of them discovered, you know, I'm a good dribbler, because we all dribbled. In the same way, as we are faithfully living out God's call to love our neighbor, to go into all the world, to share the gospel, God's Spirit will supernaturally bless us with gifting as we follow him. And what that gifting is far more than I can even like tell or imagine. As we are faithful, he will do it, and it will be incredible and amazing. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, I pray that we would see your Spirit move. I pray for each person here that they would experience your call. They would lean into the work. They would rely not just on themselves and what they can do, but on you and your supernatural gifting to bless and equip us for every good work until you come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.